Okay, back at Ephesians 6. As I said, we cannot read this too much. We don't comprehend a fraction of what we read usually. We need to read it over and over again. Chew upon it. Let's read again verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or heavenly places, spiritual places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. The life of a believer is described from the Scriptures as a warfare, a battle. Here in Ephesians 6 and 1 Corinthians 9, he says it's a wrestling. It's a time of trial, tribulation. Our Lord said, you must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven, persecution. And here, like I said, in Ephesians 6 and 1 Corinthians 9 says basically the same thing. We're wrestling, but not with this, not with flesh and blood. But it says there in verse 12, but against principalities. That means chief, the chief or high ones, against powers much greater than ourselves, against the rulers, not their underlings, but the rulers of the darkness or the evil of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. Now, if this were not the Scriptures, it would sound like a science fiction novel or something, wouldn't it? But this is reality. And this is serious. I told someone last week that when we began this study, the minute I walked in this room, I felt like something wasn't right. And during the course of the whole message, I felt like something is hindering us from studying this passage. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic or mystical or whatever, but it's so. According to this passage of Scripture, and as we've said before, Satan's chief purpose is to keep you from hearing this book, hearing these words, because this is the power. He said, Christ said, you'll know the truth, and it'll do what? Set you free. Free from what? Free from being captives of Satan at his will. That's what 2 Timothy 2 says concerning some people. He says the servant or the preacher of the gospel is sent to that they might recover them that are taken captive by Satan at his will. So this is serious, isn't it? This is needful, very necessary. I felt very impressed to go through this portion of Scripture, wanted to for some time. And if you know yourself, you know it's so. You're struggling right now, aren't you? Right now, you know how weak you are. You know how helpless you are before the continual onslaught of sin, of Satan, of self, just constantly bombarded with these things, and you feel totally helpless. And you are in yourself. That's the reason this text is so, so very vital and necessary for our well-being. I need this. That's part of the reason I'm not just preaching tonight, as Scott would say. I'm telling you the truth. I want to tell you something. How do we wrestle? What can we do? How do we wrestle? How do we contend with these things, these trials, these temptations, these troubles? How do we resist the devil? James says that resist the devil. How do we do this? How? Verse 10, look at it again. Finally, my brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord and the power of his might. Now, are you interested? If not, then you may be one of those captives that I just described. The believer is interested. He's interested because he has this constant struggle. And we'll give you a few reasons why we need this message. And then I'm going to give you a key, two keys or two answers to this question. What can we do? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? Okay? We looked over that briefly, and after studying it some more, it's absolutely necessary to dwell on this a little bit longer before we go on to these other things in this passage. And we'll give you a few reasons why we need this message, a few purposes in bringing this message, all right? Number one, turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Number one reason why we need this message and it's so urgent is because Satan is at work at this present time. At this present time. And I'm not just talking about out there. But as we've already said, he is at work in hindering us from hearing this word. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about this working of him, of Satan. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 says the mystery of iniquity is already working. It's already working. Only God, who now lets it, will allow it until Satan be finally taken out of the way for good. But he's allowing it to happen right now, to sift. Verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, and whoever that might be, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him. Whose coming, or the spirit of Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. There's some people going to perish. There might even be some people in here perish, right under the very sound of the gospel, which is able to save them, keep them from perishing. Wouldn't that be? It's just unthinkable, isn't it? It's unthinkable. Look over at 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. So Paul says these powers of Satan are at work, and I've already quoted this to you, but I want you to look at it, okay? And if need be, mark this in your Bible. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26 says that a preacher of the gospel is sent. Verse 25, he's to be very meek, knowing his own self and his own weakness. He ought to be meek, but he's to instruct those that oppose themselves. And we do oppose ourselves, don't we? We are our greatest enemies, apart from Satan himself. Instructing, and that's what this message is aimed at tonight, your instruction, your help. Those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves. You see it, verse 26? That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Those who are taken captive by him at his will. Isn't it? That's serious, isn't it? That's sobering. Captive. Satan. And I'll not dwell on him all night tonight, but Satan is very real. He's very active. I know the world scoffs at the mention of some demonic personality, but the Bible has a lot to say about him, doesn't it? And he has many demons. Do you remember the story of the man the Lord cast the devils out of? His name was Legion. He said, because we're many. Now, there were many
Terry, there were legion. There were many devils in it. One man. Mary Magdalene said, Lord, cast out seven devils out of her. It's seven. How many we got around us? And we'll look at these things again and again in the course of these messages, the devices of Satan and so forth. But the workings of Satan, and many have fallen underneath this workings of Satan. Purpose of this message is many people have fallen away. Many people have left the gospel. Many people. Some people from our midst have left the gospel. It's unthinkable to us, isn't it? It's absolutely unthinkable. I can't even, you know, what are you going to do, Rick? Where are you going to go? What are you going to get into? You can't even think about it, can you? You think of just messing around on Sunday when you want to come, you want to worship, people have just left, and then their conscience, nothing seems to bother them. And good, upstanding people, fine examples, haven't they? And others will leave too. Hopefully not from our midst, but they do. And we're all affected by His power, His workings. All of us are affected. The strongest of believers in here are going to be tried and perhaps shown to be weak. The strongest and sickly. With the strongest in here get sickly at times, don't we? Get down, and many of us bear the scars of Satan's workings, and I've seen myself very clearly the beginnings of possible apostasy in some of our people. And it's scary. It's scary. Now, we sit here tonight and we think it's unthinkable to leave the gospel, but it might be one of us. It might be. Is this message not necessary? It's vital. All right. And number two, second reason, is because of the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh, that which is flesh. Over in Galatians 5, turn back a few pages. Galatians 5, and you know this is so, you felt it. That which is flesh is flesh. It'll never be anything but. It'll never be anything, Joe, but a body of death to plague us. Look at Galatians 5, verse 16. And here's the strong, strong instructions of God's, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of Paul. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. John David, do you want that? Huh? I don't know about you, but I got a lot of lust of the flesh to contend with, and I need that verse 16, don't you? Walk in the Spirit. Verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Is that you? Is that anybody? It's me. Cannot do the things you want to do. Paul said in Romans 7 the same thing, didn't he? That what I want to do, I just can't do it. What I don't want to do, that's exactly what I end up doing. Is there any help? Yeah. There is. Verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under this law, the law. So is this needful? Is this message needful? Sure is. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded, to follow the leadings of the flesh is death. Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I need this. I need this. And I know you do too. All right. And the Scripture says with us it's impossible. So the weakness of the flesh necessitates this message that we understand what He's talking about. Being strong in the Lord, doesn't it? Thirdly, the shortness of time. necessitates this message. The shortness of time. Our life is a vapor. It's a vapor. Man, the Scripture says, who's a few days is full of trouble. Full of trouble. Our biggest troubles and trials may not have come yet. They may not have come yet. We need some strength, don't we? We're going to need something mighty stronger than we are, Terry, to get through what we might have to go through. Is this necessary, this message? And the time of the coming of Christ is soon. And we're living in a perilous time. We're living in a time, an evil time, such as never been before. Never. And this short life, the Scripture says, is preparation for eternity. And I'm not sure I'm ready. Are you? I'm not sure I am. And if this is preparation, I need a little more work. I need some more work. All right? And lastly, fourth reason for this message and this series of messages is the reward of the victory. I say reward because you know the Scripture doesn't say rewards. Look it up in your concordance sometime. You'll not find the word rewards. It's reward. The reward of victory or salvation from these things is worth a lifetime of suffering and fighting. And what I'm talking about, that reward, is to live with Christ forever. He is our reward. He is our reward, to see Him and live with Him. All right? So those are good enough reasons, aren't they, for this message, how necessary this message is. The workings of Satan, because he is truly at work. He's working on us. And Steve, he can turn you inside out. He did a better man than you, Adam. And he can manipulate us, no problem. And the weakness of the flesh, I'm supposed to be the strongest one here, and I feel at times to be the weakest. Okay? The weakness of the flesh, shortness of time. The day, the time of thy redemption draws nigh. And I want to be ready. I want oil in my lamp, don't you? And the reward for having this salvation is great. Too great to miss. You miss life. All right? Now, in our text it says, and the believer, like I said, is constantly struggling with sin, with self. Now, I'm not going to talk tonight about what the fools out there in religion are saying. How that we don't have this or we don't have that. You don't have a high-paying job or you don't have your debts paid and you don't have this and that and the other because you don't have this faith and so forth. No, I'm going to deal with that. That doesn't even bear dealing with. The thing the believer wants victory in, I can use that word, it's a scripture word. The thing the believer wants victory and wants help with is this sin that constantly we struggle with, right? And the one behind it is our adversary, the devil, who walks about the earth seeking whom he may devour. That's what our Lord himself said. And the answer now is at the end of what he said, the answer to that too. There's a little hint early. But the Scripture here says, be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. What is it? What is it to be strong in the Lord? Well, it has something to do with, and here's the first key. And the answer is in that line. Faith. It has something to do with faith. Not strivings or workings, or our doings, has something to do with faith. Strong in the Lord. And let me keep saying, I'm not talking about desires for wealth and material goods. There are many legitimate needs that we have, yes. And we can take, as Scripture says, in everything by prayer and thanksgiving.
supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Everything, doesn't it? We can take. We do have legitimate needs, and everything we ought to take before the Lord. But this is not our subject tonight. Our subject is this thing of sin and our struggles with it. All right? We need strength to resist evil, don't we? We need strength to fight against this thing called sin and against this evil man called self that we live with. You need some strength? I do. How? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Faith in Christ is the answer. The answer is so simple, yet we've made it something hard. Christ said, without me, you what? Can do nothing. He doesn't say, without me, you can do a little bit. Or he doesn't say, if you'll try your best, you can accomplish some things without me. He says, without me, you can't do anything. But the scripture says now, I can do all things. It says that I can do all things. How? If I try my best, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's certainly a companion verse to this in Ephesians 16. And Christ, listen to this. Listen to these scriptures. Listen very carefully, okay? Christ said this several times. He said it to a blind man, a group of blind men one time, who came to him, and he said, what do you want? What would you that I do unto you? They said, we want to receive our sight. These men were blind. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. They received their eyesight. According to your faith. They came to him. They didn't do anything. They didn't make a pilgrimage to Mecca on their knees and kiss the steps on the way up. They came to Christ. What do you need? I need to have my eyes out of it. According to your faith, because of who you came to, there you go. A woman with an issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch him, if I can just get to him, touch him, touched his garment. Christ, you remember, stops. Who touched me? He knew who touched him. He's the one that caused her to touch him. But nevertheless, he turned and said, woman, you remember what he said to her? Thy faith had made you whole. He said it to the woman with a daughter vexed with the devil. The Syrophoenician woman. You remember that? The woman, he said, not right to give the children's meat to dogs. Remember, she came to him and said, Lord, help me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he tried her for a little. Tried to see how serious she was for a moment. And he saw that she was serious. And he said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Her daughter was healed. Those lepers, the lepers came to him and said the same thing to thee. Go thy way, thy faith that made thee whole. Now, Terry, I feel blind about half the time. No less than these blind men. I'm spiritually blind. I'm walking around by sight and not by faith. How about you? When answers are right here before me, when it's right here and I don't pay any attention to it, I feel blind, spiritually blind most of the time, don't you? I'm walking by sight, not by faith, and I'm stumbling. I'm falling into holes and rocks and nets that are laid for me. I'm spiritually blind. Well, I need eyesight. No less than these men. What am I going to do? Grip my teeth? I got to come to him. Don't I? Lord, what will you have? I need to see. I've got a daughter who needs saving. No less than the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, right? You got one? What am I going to do? I can't do anything, John. If I could, she'd done been saved. How about you? What are we going to do? I'll do the same thing she did. Come to Christ, huh? And not quit. Not come once. But do like she did. Don't go away. I'm a leper. I'm grievously leprous with this thing called sin. I'm tainted. I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips, John. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You and I, unclean fellows. What are we going to do? Let's tell you what. You and I, let's cover ourselves with sackcloth and go to Christ. So what is faith? What is faith? Is it something difficult, some mysterious, some exceptional striving on our part? It's just coming to Christ at all times, in everything, in everything. In everything. Christ said, if thou believest. Remember what he said? If thou believest. Most things are possible. I'd like to know what that means. Wouldn't you? All things are possible to him that believes. Believe what? Well, does it just mean to have PMA? Not PMS. I've got that. I want rid of that. Paul Mahan syndrome. You know, it's just like PMS. You're happy one minute and mean as a snake the next, you know, for no apparent reason. It's true. Listen to it. She knows. We both got it. Is it just to have PMA, positive, as Norman Vincent Peale, is that idiot's name? To have a positive mental attitude? Just think positive? Is that it? Just think positive. That's not it. Is it just like the fellow says, claim it? Is it like Mr. Tilton said, just claim it, then it's yours, just claim it? Why didn't I think of that before? Give me that. Well, that's not faith. That's presumption. That's wild presumption. That's tempting the Lord. That's making a god out of yourself, isn't it? No, faith is not those things. Faith is not, and it's not some good luck charm or some magic lamp that we rub every now and then, you know, and things come true. It's not some rabbit's foot we use when we need, and it's not a work of our will. Not a work of our will, you know, just will it. True faith is nothing more than trust and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What could be simpler? For all things. Trust me. How many times have you said that to your children? Trust me. I'll take care of it. I don't know, Dad. And they go off and try something, and they don't believe you, and they get into a mess. If you trusted me now, if you just listened to me, trust me. You understand that concept, don't you? Huh? Just trust me. Do as I say. Just trust me. Trust me. And dependence upon me. If you just sit back, I'll take care of it. Now, what you say to your children, Joe? I'll pay for it. I'll take care of it. It's my delight. It's the Father's good pleasure. I love that passage in Luke 12. It's your fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure. There's nothing gives you more pleasure, Terry Kinsley, than to do for your children. There's nothing. Huh? You don't withhold anything from them. What do they need to do? Just leave it to Daddy, right? Depend on you for everything. Shouldn't they carry their own weight? They can't, can they? They can't. Stephen, as big as he is, he couldn't make it. I don't care what he thinks. He couldn't do it. He'd destroy himself right now. He needs Dad, doesn't he? And as long as I live on this earth, I'm not going to be able to make it without Dad. Abba, Father, in all things. So simply, faith is trust and dependence upon Him in all things. Coming to Him in everything. In everything. Is that hard? It's hard to do sometimes, seemingly, because we rise above it. You know what I'm saying? Make a little progress and we think we can do it on our own. And we never should rise above total dependence. A young man asked John Newton that one time in a letter. Wrote him a letter, a young preacher, and he thought he was waxing spiritual or eloquent. He said, Brother Newton, he said, how much should I depend upon the Holy Spirit in my endeavors? in the ministry. Newton wrote back and said, depend on him in everything. I never have liked that saying that says something to this effect. Trust God as if everything was up to Him, and work your hardest as if everything's up to you. You've heard that, haven't you? I never have liked that. Because He says, without me, you can't do anything. Didn't He say, you're not even sufficient to think? Didn't we settle that? Some of you are having trouble right now thinking on what I'm saying. I'm struggling. We can't even think. We can't even stop and sit and think and dwell on something for 40 minutes. Can't do it. Because we've got principalities and powers at work and weakness of the flesh and so forth. All right? So, Christ said, without me, so faith is nothing less than total reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. Got that? Total reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He said, without me, you can do nothing. We know that's so in salvation, don't we? We know it's so. Well, it's so in every area. We know it's so in salvation. It's not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, not of him that willeth or him that runneth. It's God that worketh in us, both to do and willing to do and so forth. We're dead, we're blind, we're deaf, we're dumb, we're lost by nature. Salvation's of the Lord. We know that. Well, so is, if we're going to keep on keeping on, that's of the Lord too. We don't begin in the Spirit and then we're made perfect by the flesh. No. We begin in the Spirit and it's going to take the Spirit to take us all the way. That silly saying, you know, He doesn't save us and then set us on our own 2 feet and say, walk. No, He carries us all the way. He might let us down for a little, understand what I'm trying to say. He might let us down for a minute just to show us we can't walk. Right? Flat on our faces, you know, and then cry out, Lord, carry me, would you? Huh? Without Him, we can do nothing. And so, salvation's of the Lord, and so is everything else. Everything else. How are we to be strong in the Lord? And how do we have faith? I told you now, the key to this being strong in the Lord, the answer is right there. Faith in the Lord. He's Lord. Is He or is He not? You believe that? You believe that, Virgil? He's Lord? If He, like Hannah says, maketh rich and maketh poor, lifteth up and casteth down. If, like Moses said, let me find that real fast. I want to read it to you. If Moses, like Moses, God said it, said, I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. He's the Lord. I, the Lord, Isaiah 45:7, I create peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Is He the Lord or is He not? Either He is or He isn't. Well, do you believe He is? Then why in the world would we ever attempt anything without Him? He's the Lord. He's the Lord over all flesh, all power, all authority given unto Him. So it's to have faith in Him. All right? How do we get this faith? You say, I can't seem to muster it up. That sounds simple. Just trust the Lord. Then it sounds easy. Just depend on Him. How do we get this faith? Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. We know that faith is the gift of God, don't we? Isn't that what Ephesians 2:10 says? Faith, it's not of yourselves. You know that, so don't you? I'm just going to believe. Without me, you can't do nothing. Faith is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. All right, then, so, got the answer? How are we going to get it? If God has it, we don't have it, and we can't produce it, how are we going to get it? John. Great. That's the answer, John. It's found in 1 John chapter 5. Look at it here, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have or should have in Him concerning Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Ask. And we know that He hears us. Don't we? Do we? Does He? He said He did. Didn't He? Huh? He said the Father hears you. Because I've ever lived to make intercession for you. And the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 says that He gives us a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, I have a Father. And the Holy Spirit, we don't know the things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit does and takes our prayers and with groanings that cannot be uttered, takes them to the Father. All right. He always hears us. Always. This is the confidence we have in Him. You always hear your children? There ever going to be a time when you don't? And you're going to turn a deaf ear to them and say, I will not hear what you... I don't want to hear you. Ever? If you then being evil do that to your children, how much more? Is that the confidence you have in Him? It ought to be. What about when I get down and sinful and so rebellious and so wicked, and surely I've sinned away. I've sinned. Is your sin ever going to be greater than His mercy? Huh? Is it deeper than the blood can reach? Is it of greater power than the grace of God? That's confidence we ought to have in Him. If we ask anything, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Turn back to James. Look at this. James goes into detail a little bit more. He says, James chapter 4, and you know what I'm going to read, don't you? James 4, and we all have these wars. We're talking about wrestling, aren't we? Fighting sin, evil, temptation, trial, lust, and so forth. Verse 1. Flesh, principality. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust? We can't blame the devil. We can just, it's just me. We're in league with him. Our old nature. And that war in your members, these lusts, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And when you do ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And he's just calling us like he sees it, isn't he? This is us, you adulterers and adulteresses. I plead guilty. Do you? Know ye not, he that's without sin among you cast the first stone at me, but I'm guilty. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture says in vain, uselessly, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Yeah, I know it doesn't say that in vain, because I know it's so. I feel it in my own members, warring. Boy, I'm glad he wrote verse 6. Aren't you? Aren't you glad it didn't stop there? But he given more grace. I ought not to do this. One of my points for the next message is this. How do you know when it's not, you know, the devil takes Scripture and the devil takes Scripture and uses it against you? Remember how he tempted Christ with Scripture? He's a master of using Scripture. Oh, yeah. He tried to use it against the Son of God. He's a master at that. He twisted the words of God in the garden and got Adam and Eve. He'll take scriptures and use them against you. Scriptures that you have run into and you think, oh, like in 1 John 4, it says, if any man whosoever sinneth is of the devil. Scriptures like that. Huh? You seen that? Over in Hebrews where it says, it says, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice. How many times? Have you run into that? Oh, that's me. See, Satan uses those. He uses them. He is born of God, sinneth not. Oh, I must not be born of God. Satan uses that, doesn't it? How do you know when it's not Satan using it against you or the Holy Spirit just convicting you of your sin? How do you know? How do you know? That's a good question, isn't it? Because if the notion ever comes to you that you have sinned more than God can forgive, that's Satan. Count on it. Count on it. That's Satan. If you ever feel like you sin more than God is willing to forgive, that's Satan. That's Satan. And if he does anything contrary to what the Holy Spirit has been doing in you, what does the Holy Spirit do? What should our sins do? The Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of our sin, convinces us, he says, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. What does the Holy Spirit do? Why does he do that? Are you with me? Why does he convict us of our sin? What does he want us to do? What's he intend for us to do? Point us to Christ, You're guilty. You need help, don't you? You can't do it. Look there. Look to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Satan keeps you looking at yourself. Keeps you looking at yourself. It'll never point you to Christ. Keep you looking at yourself, right? Those scriptures ought to drive you to Christ. Once again, they ought to drive you right back. Lord, I'm guilty of that. Help. I'm a very present help in time of trouble. Strong in the Lord. James 4, he says this. James 4, look at it again. He says over in chapter 1, look over there real quickly and I'll end. Or no, chapter 4. And I'll end with this. He says he gives more grace. But he says God resists the proud. Well, that's what I've been saying all along. The man that says, I'm living above sin now. Then you don't need my help, do you, bud? That's what the Lord say to that man. I'll just leave you alone. But he gives more grace. And the humble and the broken, the contrite sinners. That's what that means to be humble, John. Broken before the Lord all the time. Over what? Your own sin. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. How's that? In God. In Christ. Like Michael, the archangel, said, the Lord rebuke you. I can't do anything. The Lord rebuke you. Lord. And he'll flee from you. Why? Because you're too tough for him? Now, if you're down in the dust and the Lord's hovering over you, he sees, he's not looking at you. When he flees, it's not you he's fleeing from, is it? It's somebody else. Got his hand on you. My anointed. Isn't that good? Don't you come near him again until I say so. Draw how? Verse 8, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. You ever whipped an old hound dog and had him sidle up to your leg, you know, to where you couldn't get a good blow in at him? You ever had a dog do that to you? Slink, put his tail between his legs, you know, and
and he deserves an old beating, and he crawls up by your feet, and you reach down and pet him. It's all right. And Ruth, kiss the master's hand like a dog licks his master's hand. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. How do you draw nigh to God? Huh? In prayer. Get back right to where we started this whole thing, in prayer. He said, call. In the day of trouble, call. And I'll help you. I'm a very present help. God never leaves His children. We turn our backs on Him. Right? He never leaves. He said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'm a very present. When you're at your sinfulest, call. You definitely need Him then, don't you? He said, ask. You'll receive. Did He say that? He can't lie. Johnny can't lie. 1 John 5 said that, didn't it? This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will. What's His will? Believe Christ. Come to Him. Ask, you shall receive. Knock, seek. And those, and you need to know this, that's a continual thing. It's not a one-time thing. Not Sunday morning or Wednesday night. It's continual. It's an all thing. Don't you find yourself at all times needing His help? At all times. Wake up in the morning, you're bombarded immediately, aren't you? And all the day long, you don't have to. He said, I'm very present help. Just ask. Call. Help. Call. Simple as that, isn't it? Huh? Ask. That's the reason Paul said in everything. That's the reason the Lord said the men ought always to pray. And then He gave that parable of the importunate widow, you know, that kept coming. That's the reason Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Why? Because we're always in trouble. We can't do anything without Him. Call. That makes sense. Is this tough? Is this some mystical thing? Huh? We wake up. The more we go to bed at night, we need Him, don't we? We're struggling. Ask for strength to resist. To handle the trial, wisdom to lead every decision. Lord, lead, guide me. Every decision. Guide me. Teach me. Wisdom to make decisions, whatever that decision might make. Might have far-reaching consequences. We're not wise enough to make them, are we? Ask. He said there in James 1, he said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God who giveth freely. And upbraideth not, didn't it? Liberally. Ask. You need some wisdom, Vicki? Ever just ask. He'll give it. A woman wrote me a letter and said, I've got some, you know, man's asking me questions. I want to give him answers, and I'm not sure what to ask. I said, ask the Lord to give you an answer. He'll give them to you. So, in conclusion, to be strong in the Lord, is faith in Christ. Just depend on Him for everything. We better for salvation, and we better for everything. Everything. And how do we get this faith? How do we depend on Him? How do we have to ask for Him to make us ask. Huh? We have to ask to ask. Lord, I'm not asking. Would you please make me ask? I'm running ahead of you. Would you make me stop and ask? Ask, be strong in the Lord. Trust Him and ask for His help. And the power of His might is what we're going to deal with next. The power of His might. You want to guess what that might be? Only one thing I see in the Scripture says is His power. And it's the word of His power. Right here. Gospel, Christ, words, all one and the same thing. But there's power. And not like the world. You know I'm not saying like the world is saying, but there is the power of His might. He who upholds all things by the word of His power will uphold you by the word of His power. Be strong in the Lord. I think it's a good message to leave you with, isn't it? All right. Let's stand.
Our Lord, we thank you so much for this word from you. It's so powerful yet and so deep and so glorious yet so simple. Like the parables that you spoke to your disciples, and they were hidden to the wise and the prudent, but revealed unto babes. And Lord, we see, though we're babes, we see clearly that this thing of being strong in thee is merely becoming as little children and dependent upon you for everything and asking you, seeking your will in all things. Lord, enable us to do that. We're asking that you might give us the desire to ask, that you might make us to seek your face in all things, that we might not stumble and fall and be strong to face whatever. Strong in thee, depending upon thee. Thou who art the people's strength and rock upon whom we stand, in whom we're hidden, Christ, the rock of ages. We depend upon thee, Lord. Let us never, never attempt anything in the strength of the flesh, but call upon thee in our days, these many days of trouble and trial. Go with the people through this week. Give me journey and mercies. Bring me back. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.